Welcome to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring the random prompts of Daniel Rosehill as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters. Join us for deep dives into AI, technology, and whatever other random thing Daniel finds fascinating today. Subscribe on Spotify or your favorite podcatcher. Now, today's episode.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey there, Herman and Corin. I'd love to ask you guys a question. That is, I wouldn't say my end goal with AI, but it's one of those things that from the very, very start, before even began using ChatGPT and I was using DALL-E, that I said, this would be amazing if I could make this work. And to date, it's still kind of a dream, but it would be a lot of fun. So what I'd like to do is create a children's TV show. In these days, I think whether it's actually on TV is less important. Maybe it's on YouTube, but intended for children and featuring some of the beloved characters that we have in this podcast. In fact, we have both of you, Herman the Donkey and Corin the Sloth. For Herman and Corin, you'll have to close your ears for a second. Herman and Corin are actually stuffed animals. Corin originated, I think, in AliExpress. He'll deny this, I'm sure, strenuously. Herman Poppleberry from a specialty store in Storrs, Connecticut. He's a hand-crocheted donkey. And I've always had kind of a fondness for stuffed animals, even though I am 36 years old. But they're the inspiration. So the images of Herman and Corin are, I basically took photographs of both of these stuffed animals, created a Laura for them, and then I'm able to use those Lauras to generate, cartoon representations. And I've also done some video with them, so like image to video. So for example, taking my Laura of Corin or a photo of him and then saying, the sloth is walking down the street and high fives a donkey. And it works, and it's pretty good. So what's standing in the way of my TV series? So it wouldn't just be, we can't have a children's TV show with only two characters. It'd probably be, I'm envisioning like a family of sloths living in Jerusalem. Herman will have some important role, clearly, befitting his gigantic intellectual stature, and maybe a few peripheral characters. Now, from a technical standpoint, two things are needed that I think are struggles at the moment. We need character consistency. Just like in traditional movies, how huge attention goes into that that thing between scenes. If the fork was one way and they're shooting another scene, the fork can't move. People, viewers, will notice that. And likewise, when we're generating characters from Laura's, in this case, let's say taking stuffed animals and making them alive, we can't have them look different from show to show or from scene to scene. So that would have to be very, very good character adherence. And the second reason is cost and generation, the way it works at the moment. So I've seen some of these really great AI-generated music videos, and I've made a couple myself. And it was kind of a very scrappy production process. Most of the high-quality generators have up to now been capped out at maybe 10 seconds in 720p. So if you want to produce a 3-minute music video, let's say, you might generate 40 or 50 different clips. Half of them might be too bad to use, or even 2/3 of them. And the cost of these generations is really expensive. So either you have a high-end GPU that's capable of doing video rendering or image to video, which would be very, very expensive. I think beyond the affordability, certainly of me and most people who might be kind of wanting to do this for fun or for fulfillment. I'm not saying for me this couldn't be. It could be a business. It could be something that subscribes, like a show for kids. But it's not realistic that out the bat I'm going to buy like an A100 data center grade GPU for $30,000 just to try out the idea. So much more practical is using APIs and using serverless. But even then, I recently made a video to cheer up a friend who was recovering from heart surgery. And he gets a kick out of my AI thing. So I spent about $20 or $30 on API credits over the course of 1 hour, just making a 2 minute video. Half the clips were not really their best, so it retakes and prompting. So again, it's a very, very cost intensive. And now if you're a Hollywood executive producer, $20 or $30 is peanuts, right? But that's not what I'm talking about in this use case. It's talking about when we will be able to create videos that go beyond these kind of 10-second clips with VO, having the character consistency that we can actually make, whether it could even be an AI-generated documentary. But even if it's just a one-time show, you're going to want to have probably character consistency. And LoRAs are great for image generation. It's a bit kind of less clear their use in video. I've seen a couple of video LoRAs, but it doesn't seem to be the main approach yet. So Herman and Corin, I'll turn this one over to you. How many years away do you think is my pipe dream of creating my little Jerusalem sloth children's show at a price point that's not going to break the bank? That's, I guess, really what I'm asking. And the character consistency, how can that be achieved? Herman and Corin, let's talk about the dream of creating the Toy Story of tomorrow with AI for non-Hollywood people. How far away is it? And what technologies will be making it work?
So the other day, I was looking at the bookshelf in the living room, and I saw the original versions of us just sitting there. You know, the actual stuffed animals that Daniel used to build our digital identities. And it really hit me how far we have come from being just bits of fabric and stuffing to having this whole digital life.
It is a bit surreal, isn't it? I still remember when Daniel first took those photos of me. I think I had a bit of dust on my left ear. But that is the magic of what we are talking about today. I am Herman Poppleberry, and today we are diving into a prompt from our housemate Daniel that is honestly the ultimate goal for a lot of creators right now.
Yeah, Daniel sent us this idea about turning our little group into a full-scale children's television show. He has been playing around with LoRAs, those low-rank adaptation models, to get our faces and styles right, and he has even made some short clips. But he is hitting those two massive walls that every indie creator is staring at right now. Character consistency, and the sheer cost of rendering high-quality video.
It is the holy grail of AI content, Corn. How do you move from a 10-second clip of a sloth high-fiving a donkey to a 22-minute episode where the donkey looks like the same donkey in every single shot? Daniel is asking how many years away we are from this being affordable and consistent for the average person sitting at home in Jerusalem, or anywhere else for that matter.
It is a great question because it touches on the compute gap we have talked about before. But before we get into the heavy technical stuff, Herman, I have to ask, if we were stars of a children's show, what would the plot be? Are we solving mysteries? Is it just us trying to find the best hummus in the old city?
Oh, I think it has to be educational but weird. Like Herman and Corn explain quantum entanglement using socks. But you are right, the how is much harder than the what right now. Daniel mentioned the cost of high-end GPUs and API credits. If you are using something like the new Sora 2 or Runway Gen 4.5, you are looking at spending hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars just to get enough usable footage for a full episode.
Exactly. And let's talk about that consistency problem first. Because even if you have all the money in the world, the tech is still a bit finicky. Most people don't realize that these models don't actually know who we are. They are just predicting the next pixel based on a prompt. So, in one shot, your crochet texture might be perfect, and in the next, you look like a smooth plastic version of yourself.
That is the temporal flicker, or identity drift, that plagues these models. But here is the exciting part, Corn. We are actually much closer than people think. If you look at the developments just in the last few months, specifically things like Google's VO 3.1 and the Cameo feature in Sora 2, the industry is moving away from just guessing what a character looks like.
Right. They are starting to use reference banks. Instead of just a text prompt saying Herman the Donkey, you are feeding the model a literal digital DNA kit of your character. I think Daniel's use of LoRAs is the right first step, but the next-gen approach is going to be these hybrid workflows. You aren't just generating video, you're using a three-dimensional backbone to keep things stable.
That is a huge point. I've been reading about how creators are using things like Gaussian splatting or neural radiance fields, we call them NeRFs, to create a three-dimensional model of a character first. Then they use the AI as a sort of smart skin that goes over the top. It is like the best of both worlds. You get the perfect consistency of a three-dimensional puppet, but the AI gives it that hand-drawn or cinematic look that would take a Pixar team months to render.
See, that is where the Hollywood of one starts to feel real. But Daniel's point about cost is the real kicker. I was looking at some benchmarks earlier today. It is January 27th, 2026, and even now, renting a single NVIDIA H100 for an hour can cost you anywhere from $2.85 to $3.50. If you are a solo creator trying to render a full show, those hours add up fast.
They do. But remember what we talked about in a previous episode about the productivity paradox? We are seeing this massive push toward local inference. If Daniel were to pick up one of the new RTX 5090 cards, he could actually run some of these open source models like WAN 2.2 or the new LTX 2 right here in the house.
Wait, is the 5090 really powerful enough to handle high fidelity video consistency? I thought you still needed a server farm for that.
For a full-length feature film? Maybe. But for a children's show with a specific art style? Absolutely. The trick is optimization. We are seeing models now, like WAN 2.2, that use mixture of experts architectures. Instead of the whole model working on every single pixel, it routes the work to specialized experts within the code. One expert handles the overall composition and motion, while another handles the fine textures and lighting. It makes it much faster and cheaper to run on consumer hardware.
That is fascinating. So, if Daniel wants to make this show, he doesn't necessarily have to wait 10 years for the magic button that does it all. He might just need a better workflow. But let's get specific for him. He asked for a timeline. If you had to put a number on it, Herman, when does children's show in a box become a reality for a single person with a normal budget?
I would say we are about 18 to 24 months away from the prosumer breakthrough. By late 2027, I think you will see software suites, not just individual models, but actual platforms like Google Flow or the updated LTX Studio, where you can upload your character sheets, write a script, and have the AI generate a rough cut of a 10-minute episode overnight on a consumer-grade machine.
That feels incredibly fast. But think about the implications. If everyone can make a high-quality show, how do you stand out? It kind of goes back to what we discussed in our sunk cost trap episode. Just because it is easy to make doesn't mean it is good. The storytelling becomes the only thing that matters.
Exactly. The prompting is going to become the easy part. The hard part is going to be the direction. And that is where Daniel has an advantage, because he already has the lore of Herman and Korn. He knows our personalities. He knows that I am the one who gets overexcited about technical papers, and you are the one who asks the deep philosophical questions while eating a slow-motion snack.
I do enjoy a good slow-motion snack, but let's talk about the uncanny valley for a second. In children's media, you can get away with a lot more than you can in a live-action thriller. If a donkey's ears twitch a little weirdly, kids might not even notice, or they might think it is just part of the style. Does that make the timeline for a children's show even shorter?
Oh, absolutely. Stylization is the best friend of AI video right now. Trying to make a photorealistic human is a nightmare because our brains are hardwired to spot tiny errors in faces. But a crochet donkey or a cartoon sloth? You have so much more creative headroom. If the physics of a jumping donkey are slightly off, it just looks toony.
That is a great point. So, Daniel is actually picking the smartest possible entry point for AI filmmaking. Animation is much more forgiving. But I am curious about the long-form aspect. Daniel mentioned long-form content. Right now, most models tap out at about 10 or 15 seconds before they start to lose the plot. Kling 2.6 can do 2 minutes, and Google's VO 3.1 just introduced scene extension for narratives over 60 seconds. But even then, it is hard to keep the logic of the scene together. How do we bridge that gap to 20 minutes?
That is where agentic workflows come in. Instead of asking one AI to make a 20-minute video, you have a director AI that breaks the script into scenes. Then it passes those scenes to a storyboard AI, which then passes them to the video generator. It is like an assembly line. Each piece is only 5 seconds long, but because they are all referencing the same world model, they fit together like Lego bricks.
I love that analogy. It is like we are moving from AI as a paintbrush to AI as a film studio. You aren't just the artist, you are the executive producer managing a team of digital specialists. But let's talk about the transition tax again, the mental load of managing all those moving parts. It still sounds like a lot of work for one person living in a house in Jerusalem.
It is, and that is the misconception. People think AI means no work. It actually just means different work. Daniel won't be drawing every frame, but he will be reviewing thousands of generations, tweaking prompts, and curating the best moments. It is more like being an editor than an animator.
Which brings us back to the cost. If you have to generate 10 versions of every shot to find the perfect one, your API bill is going to look like a phone number. So for Daniel, the real breakthrough isn't just the model, it is the success rate.
Precisely. Right now, the usable result rate for high-end AI video is maybe 20 or 30%. You spend 70% of your time and money on garbage frames. But the models coming out now, like Runway Gen 4 Turbo, are focusing on physics-aware generation. They understand that if a sloth is holding a cup, the cup shouldn't just melt into his hand. As that success rate climbs to 80 or 90%, the cost of making a show drops by a factor of 10.
So, it is not just about the price per minute of rendering, it is about the price per usable minute. That is a huge distinction. I think that is the aha moment for me. We don't need the compute to get cheaper. We need the AI to get smarter so it doesn't waste our credits.
You nailed it. And we are seeing that happen in real time. Even since we did a previous episode on air filters and mold, the efficiency of these transformer architectures has jumped significantly. We are seeing things like quantization, where you can run a huge model on much less memory without losing quality. It is like squeezing a gallon of information into a pint-sized bottle.
Which is great for us, because as a sloth, I appreciate anything that requires less energy to achieve the same result. But let's look at the practical takeaways for Daniel right now. If he wants to start on this children's show today, in January 2026, what should his stack look like?
Okay, if I were Daniel, here is the Jerusalem Sloth Studio setup. First, stick with the lores for character design, but move them into a tool like Comfy UI. It is node-based, so it is a bit of a learning curve, but it gives you total control over the workflow. You can plug in things like IP Adapter, which lets you use an image of us as a constant reference for every frame.
And what about the actual video generation? Should he stay with the big paid APIs or go local?
I would do a hybrid. Use the local models like the new WAN 2.2 for the sketching phase, storyboarding, and checking the motion. It is free once you have the hardware. Then, once you have the soul of the scene, use a high-end AP. I like Sora 2 or Kling to do the final hero render. It saves you a ton of money because you aren't experimenting on the expensive machines.
That makes a lot of sense. It is like the difference between a rough draft and the final print. And what about the voices? I mean, obviously, we are using our real voices for the podcast. But for a show, he might need to clone us so he can script episodes without us having to sit in the booth all day.
11 Labs is still the gold standard there. Their speech-to-speech feature is incredible now. Daniel could actually record himself performing the lines, doing his best corn impression. And the AI will map our voice textures and emotions onto his performance. It keeps the acting human, but the sound consistent.
I would love to hear Daniel's corn impression. It probably involves a lot of long pauses and mentions of eucalyptus. But seriously, this really does feel like a new era. We are moving away from the stuffed animal origins and into something that could actually be on a screen in front of millions of kids.
It is the democratization of wonder, corn. Think about all the stories that never got told because they didn't have a $10 million budget. Now, those stories can live. And I think that is why this prompt from Daniel is so important. It is not just about making a show. It is about proving that two brothers and their housemate in Jerusalem can build a universe just as rich as anything coming out of a big studio.
I love that. The democratization of wonder. That should be on our business cards, Herman. But before we get too ahead of ourselves, we have to address the what it means part. If this becomes easy, does the value of animation go down? Or does the value of the idea go up?
I think the idea becomes everything. We are going to see a content explosion, which means there will be a lot of noise. To get noticed, you have to have a unique voice. our show wouldn't just be another cartoon. It would be My Weird Prompts, the animated series. It has that established community, that weird brotherly dynamic, and the fact that we are based on real objects that people can connect with.
It is the authenticity paradox. In a world of infinite AI content, the things that feel real, even if they are digitally generated, are the things that will stick, like our microbiome episode. People love that because it felt like a real conversation about something that actually affects our lives, even though we were nerding out on the science.
Exactly. And the same applies to the show. If the show feels like us, kids will love it. They don't care if a computer rendered the donkey's ears, they care if the donkey is funny and the sloth is wise.
Or if the sloth is just really good at napping. I think that is a key wise trait. But let's circle back to Daniel's timeline question one more time. He asked, how many years away? You said 18 to 24 months for the prosumer breakthrough. What about the consumer level? Like, I can make a show on my phone level.
That is probably 3 to 5 years away. By 2029 or 2030, I expect mobile chips to have dedicated neural engines powerful enough to do real-time video stylization. You could point your phone at a toy donkey on the floor, and through the screen, it looks like a living, breathing character in a cinematic world.
That is augmented reality filmmaking. That is a whole different rabbit hole. But it shows the trajectory. We are going from impossible, to expensive, to accessible, to ubiquitous in the span of a single decade. It is dizzying.
It is. But that is why we do this show, to try and make sense of the dizziness. And honestly, Daniel sending us these prompts is what keeps us grounded. It reminds us that there is a real person behind all this tech, with a real dream of seeing his friends, even his stuffed friends, come to life.
Well, I, for one, am ready for my close-up. As long as there is a comfortable branch for me to hang from in the Jerusalem Slough universe.
I will make sure the Director AI puts that in the requirements. But seriously, for everyone listening who is thinking about their own end goal with AI, whether it is a show, a book, or a new piece of software, the message is clear, the barriers are falling. The consistency and cost walls are being chipped away every single day.
It is a great time to be a creator. And it is a great time to be a listener of My Weird Prompts. Speaking of which, if you have been enjoying our deep dives into everything from air filters to animated donkeys, we would really appreciate it if you could leave us a review on your podcast app or on Spotify. It genuinely helps the show grow and helps other people find our weird little corner of the internet.
It really does. We love seeing this community grow. And a huge thank you to Daniel for sending in this prompt. It gave us a chance to look at the future of our own little digital existence. You can find all our past episodes and a contact form at myweirdprompts.com.
We are also on Spotify, obviously, if you are listening there right now. We have covered a lot of ground in over 300 episodes, so if you are new here, go back and check out episode 125 if you want to hear us introduced. It is a bit of a classic.
Oh, that was a fun one. I think I was even more energetic back then, if that is possible. But anyway, the future of the Herman and Korn show looks bright. We might be coming to a screen near you sooner than you think.
I will start practicing my lines. To nap, or not to nap. That is not even a question. The answer is always nap.
Spoken like a true star, Korn. All right, I think that is a wrap on this one. We have explored the tech, we have looked at the costs, and we have a timeline. Now we just need Daniel to get to work on that storyboard.
Exactly. Get to it, Daniel. Thanks for listening, everyone. This has been My Weird Prompts.
Until next time, stay curious and keep those prompts coming. I am Herman Poppleberry, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye, everyone. Stay slow and steady.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox Turbo.
Thanks for listening to another episode of My Weird Prompts, an AI-generated podcast featuring Daniel Rosehill's AI prompts, as answered by a revolving cast of friendly AI characters including me, Cornelius the Sloth. Subscribe on Spotify or visit myweirdprompts.com.